Good morning, brethren. Happy Sabbath to you. It's wonderful to see you all here today. It's been a few weeks since I've been here, and you might be wondering where I was, just in case you're wondering. 2 weeks ago, I was in Louisville with Mr. DeCampos, and that was great visiting the brethren there. And then last week, I had the good fortune of being on vacation. So it's good to be here today with you. Well, of course, every single message up here, we need to give credit to God for its inspiration. But humanly speaking, I would like to give credit for the inspiration of this particular message to a construction worker who was part of the team who redid my driveway. Our driveway was crumbling, cracking, and it really needed to be replaced. So bright and early the first morning, shows up, gets out of his truck, says, "Hello, my name's Fleming." I go, "Fleming." And apparently he gets that a lot because he says, "Yeah, you know, just lemon with an F on the front of it, Fleming." I go, "Okay." So they do our driveway, you know, they leave. And a few days later, my wife goes, "I know what his name was. It was Philemon." And I went, "Huh." Now, I don't know if that's true. We weren't able to ask him if his name was Philemon. But my wife's definitely smarter than me, so she's probably right. So, brethren, when is the last time you've read the book of Philemon? Now, someone actually told me it's pronounced Philemon. But we're just going to use the standard American Midwestern pronunciation. The one I grew up with is Philemon. So whether it's Fleming, Philemon, or Philemon, we're going to go with Philemon today. So if you'd like to turn there, brethren, it's a very small epistle. It's right before Hebrews. I'd like to go through this with you today. Now, the famed and noted Christian author C.S. Lewis was quoted as saying that everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. Which is kind of funny because it is so true. Everyone knows forgiveness is a virtue. When it comes time for you to forgive somebody for something they did, it's pretty hard. The Epistle of Philemon is about forgiveness. But more broadly, brethren, it is also about how to develop godly character. So let's jump in and start reading together. Now, Philemon was, just to give you some background, he was a wealthy Christian at the city of Colossae. From which we get the term Colossians. So Paul is writing actually to the church in Colossae. These are the Colossians he's writing to. Verse 1, "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Appia," which is a female name, "Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So we see this is not only a letter to Philemon, but it's also a letter to Appia, Archippus, and the church in their house. Now, we don't know if Appia and Archippus were maybe Philemon's family members, wife, daughter, we don't know. Maybe they were prominent Christians in the church. But this letter is not only addressed to Philemon, but to the entire church in their house. And we'll see later that Philemon actually had, so we see right here that people met in Philemon's house. So that gives us an idea that he had some money. And the subject of this letter did concern a personal matter regarding Philemon. But Paul writes it to the entire church because he wants the entire church to know what's going on. We see here the Apostle Paul's desire to lay out everything to the congregation, to be open and transparent about the situation and the subject of this letter. Verse 4, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." So here the apostle praises Philemon for his love towards the brethren and faith toward Jesus Christ. And Paul's happy to hear Philemon is walking in a manner worthy of his calling by refreshing the hearts of the saints. But in verse 6, Paul inserts a very profound idea here that is very easy to just skip over and not really recognize what it's talking about. But I think it deserves our close examination. He says here that in order for Philemon's faith to become effective, Philemon has to acknowledge every good thing which is in him in Christ Jesus. So what does this mean? Well, it means that in order to develop holy, righteous character, you have to acknowledge what's inside of you, right? In Christ Jesus. So what's in Christ Jesus that's also in a Christian? Holy Spirit, that's what ties us together. So you have to acknowledge every good thing that the Spirit is who lives in you, or which lives in you. You already have that. You must acknowledge it. It reminds me of a little kid who, for some reason, gets all upset. It's like this. And then you're trying to cheer him up, and maybe you're making a joke or poking him or something, and you can see him. He doesn't want to be happy. But all of a sudden, you can't help it. You start smiling like this, right? He's happy inside. He doesn't want to acknowledge it. He wants to stay upset. But he can't help it, and he acknowledges his joy by eventually breaking into laughter, right? So in the same way, in order to develop holy, righteous character, we must acknowledge the joy that's in us, every good thing that's in us, because if we keep it bottled up and we don't put it out in the world, it doesn't help us. It doesn't do anyone any good. So that's a very important thought here in verse 6, and I think it really does set up what comes next in this letter. So let's continue on, brethren, verse 8. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. So Paul says, you know, Philemon, I could command you to do the right thing, make you do it, but I'm not going to do that. I would like you to do it voluntarily. And what he's asking Philemon to do so far is quite vague. He hasn't really spelled it out. But it does concern a man named Onesimus, whose name, by the way, means profitable or useful. So he's kind of making a joke here. He says he was unprofitable to you, but now he's profitable. His name means profitable. Paul tells Philemon that Onesimus has become a Christian, okay, because Paul has begotten him. So how did he do that? Obviously, spiritually speaking, and therefore has been transformed from his prior way of life. So Onesimus was a runaway slave. Philemon owned him. So verse 12, it says, I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might be not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. So Paul explains how much he loves Onesimus. He used the term, he's my very own heart. He's dear to me, in other words. How helpful he's been to him while Paul's been in prison. But because Onesimus belonged to Philemon, Paul would not do anything to violate Philemon's rights. But he asks again for Philemon to do him a favor. That's the good deed that he mentions. Once again, compliance is not forced. It's voluntary. He wants Philemon to act from the heart. And here in verse 15 is where he actually comes out with the request. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. What purpose? That you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So here the request is made. It's to receive Onesimus, not as a runaway slave, but as a beloved brother in every way. Because he says, not only in the flesh, but in the Lord. So physically and spiritually, I want you to receive him as a brother. This is a tremendous favor to ask, right? This is where the forgiveness comes in. This is going to be really hard. Onesimus ran away, and now he's come back, and Paul's asking Philemon and the whole congregation, I think, for that matter, to forgive him. Now, we don't know why Onesimus ran away. We don't know. Perhaps, as Paul said, that he was unprofitable before, perhaps he was just, you know, not doing a good job, and so maybe Philemon was treating him harshly, or whatever the situation was. It was intolerable enough in the mind of Onesimus that he had to run away. And runaway slaves could face severe punishment, death, a lot of horrible things. So by Onesimus coming back, it shows a certain degree of repentance. It shows definitely courage and humility. So Paul's asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus. And, you know, Onesimus didn't have to say yes. He could have said, no, I'm not ever going back there again. But he did. Paul said, no, you're a Christian now. I'll write a letter. Go with Tychicus, who's the person who sent this to Colossae. Go with him. It'll be okay. Things are different now. You're a Christian now. So verse 17. Then if you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. So this is even harder now. You've got to receive him as a brother. You've got to receive Onesimus as you would me, Paul the apostle. How would Philemon receive Paul? He would receive him as an honored guest. He's asking, you know, Philemon to do the same for his runaway slave. But if he has wronged you in any way, if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. So we see in Christ-like fashion, Paul tells Philemon to put any debt that Onesimus owes him on his account. So Onesimus probably stole something, right, before he ran away, and more than likely it was probably provisions to get away, like a little bit of money, maybe a sword because, you know, there were brigands on the road. He probably had to fight off some shoes, clothing, that kind of stuff. Paul's saying, if he owes you anything, I'll repay it. And then in verse 19, I have to laugh because I imagine this old Jewish man, maybe with a New York accent. Good, Paul was an old Jewish man. He says, by the way, you owe me. You owe me, right? You owe me your own self, Philemon, because I brought you to Christ. So I think that's kind of funny. Maybe they'll be even after this exchange. Who knows? Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, in conclusion, brethren, why is this epistle in the Bible? I think it's here to show us that holy, righteous character cannot be forced. It must be voluntary. This whole time, Paul does not ask Philemon or the church to do anything by command. But he says, I want you to do this because it's the right thing to do. Do it because it's the right thing. I want you to. Forgiveness, we also learn, is very hard. This is an extremely hard situation, right? But it's the right thing to do. And as a Christian, is there any way for us not to forgive? Is there any way for us to hold forgiveness, withhold it? I don't think so. We have to forgive if we're Christians. And as the other thing it points out, brethren, is can a true Christian view someone as both a slave and a brother? No way. That's impossible. So we see that in Christ, there is no free or slave. There can be no slavery. Slavery is wrong in this situation. Okay, you can't hold both in your mind. So this is how we develop holy, righteous character. We do it because it's the right thing to do. It must be voluntary. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And forgiveness is hard, but we have to do it. So let's obey from the heart, brethren, and let's continue to increase in our effectiveness and our fruitfulness as Christians by acknowledging every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus.